Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today is All Saints' Day. Well, actually, it's not. November 1st is. But we are celebrating it today, which is why I'm robed up. We have white. And why do we do that? Well, white means it comes from God. Okay? And so on All Saints' Day, it's a recognition of the service that these people have done to God. If you look at the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, there's a couple of verses here I want to share with you. And it's 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, as I read that, what it's telling us that as Christians, we are going to be persecuted. And the thing is that some people are persecuted without even being baptized. But they serve God. So if you're not baptized and you're killed in the service of God's word, are you going to heaven or hell? Yes. Depends on what it is. Look at this for a second. The Bible tells us there's three ways to be baptized. Fire. I mean, let's face it. If somebody's burned at the stake in the service of God, I think they're baptized. Don't you? The word. You know, I talked with some of our Baptist brothers and sisters. And they said, if you're not fully immersed, you're not baptized. Okay. So what has more power? Well, hi, I didn't see you guys come in. Welcome. You know, we appear. But when we look at this kind of stuff, you know, what has more power? The Word of God or the water? Well, Word of God. If that's the case, how much water do we need? As I told you before, I talked to one lady one time who said that her baptism wasn't effective. And I said, why? She says, because my elbow was out of the water. Can't you see God going, oy vey? But, you know, that's the thing. Is that God's rules or man's rules? Okay. The apostles wrote a book called the Didache, which in Greek, Koine Greek, means the teachings. And they wrote it around 60 AD, so it was written by the apostles. I mean, this is not something. They suggested that we do full immersion baptism. But if you can't, as long as you sprinkle water on and use this, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are baptized. Now, they also suggested later on that you go through the full immersion, but it would just be in remembrance of your baptism because the baptism has already taken place. You with me? And what is baptism? Say it again.
Death, burial, and resurrection.
Okay. And what happens during baptism? It's an exorcism. Okay? You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and your evil spirits are thrown out. Now, in our baptismal services, we have a couple things. First of all, there is an exorcism prayer in there. Okay? It's part of the thing, we call it Luther's flood prayer. Talks about, you know, the earth being destroyed. It doesn't happen again. But through the waters of baptism, we die and have rebirth in Him. Okay, now stop and think about that. The other thing is, during the service, I don't know how many of you have noticed this. Let me read this to you. So, after we baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here's what the service is. The minister lays his hand upon that one baptized and gives this blessing. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water, rebirth, there it is, and the Spirit and the forgiveness of all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Peace be with you. Isn't that a strong prayer? Now, at this point, a white garment may now be put upon the candidate. You know, normally it's like a handkerchief type thing, but you give it to the parents if it's a baby, and then you pull it out. You're given that and a candle. All right, here's what goes. Receive this white garment to show that Christ has taken away and borne your sin and put upon you his perfect righteousness. So shall you in faith ever stand before him. Okay. Now, garment. We're going to talk about that here in a second. Then, the next part is the baptismal candle is receive this burning light. Live always by the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming. Be ever watchful for his coming, which is why we're here, right? Okay. That you may meet him with joy and enter with him to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end. And then the final prayer is this. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted all of us the new birth in his holy baptism and made us a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly beseech you that, as all of y'all have now become his child, you would keep all of us in our baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, we may faithfully grow. Now listen to this. To lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, All Saints Day, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you have actually really listened to that? I mean, when we hear it in a baptism, all right, here, like that, you don't listen to it. Folks, these three things I just read are some of the most powerful things that are written in the hymnal. All right, Book of Revelation, we just heard receiving the robes that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're made white in the blood. George.
You don't need.
It's in the Bible.
Because the Bible says.
Well, actually, what is, since you brought that up, let's talk about that for a second. Why, you know, we do a high service. Last week we did the high service. Why do I do that? What is it? Why was I so adamant and it took me 5 years to put the high service in? We don't do it all the time. It's a catechism. All right, what's the first thing we do in worship? Confession and absolution. Is that important? Of course it is. Because it gets us ready to worship our Lord in purity. Okay, the first part of the service is about baptism. Okay, remember we do this. Why do you cross yourself? In memory of your holy baptism. How many of you knew that? Okay, that's why you cross yourself. And I know there's a lot of you that do that in here. No, it's not Roman Catholic. It's Christian. We all do it in memory of our baptism because that's when God took us into the family. You know, and for a long time, Lutheran Christians didn't. I'm starting to see it come back again, which is good. Thank you, our Catholic brothers and sisters, who reminded us why we do that. By the way, you know when the Mass changed from Latin to English? The American Church came out with a decree. Go to your Lutheran brothers, take the liturgy that's in their hymnal and use it in your church because it's the same thing. Stop and think about that. Okay, are we different or are we the same? Of course we're the same. But are we any different from the Pentecostals? No. Folks, we all have the same boss and we all have the same thing, the cross. You with me? Okay. That's like the old joke that St. Peter, we had a new person in heaven, was taking around and showing him, and he says, now when we go down this aisle, we got to be very quiet. And the guy says, well, St. Peter, why? He said, well, this is the Lutheran aisle. They think they're the only ones up here. You know, that's one of those, fill in any denomination and you got it. Okay. But that's the thing is, too, we all work together. I got to share this with you, too. Christian Hunley is the new head of pastors for the LCMC. And I've told him that our church is special because we have Roman Catholics, Pentecostals, Assembly of God, Baptists. You know, we have all of this Roman Catholic. You know, we're all here. We even got a few Lutherans in the middle. Missouri Synod. And Christian also came out of the Missouri Synod, by the way. Okay, he went to St. Louis. I mean, he's one of those apostates. Anyway, but when you look at this, he said, this church is a model for the future. And he said, I had heard this. We are being talked about in Michigan because this is the way they're going to structure our churches for the future, where everyone who walks through that door can be comfortable. Now stop and think about that. What does that indicate? That's the Holy Spirit working in our church, and he's here. All right, so let's talk about this. I'm going to turn this into what I was going to preach on today. We have in the baptismal service the word garment. In Revelation, we have the word robes. What's the difference? Well, actually, there are. Yeah. Everyone has got the white garment because we receive it when? At our baptism. Where do you get a white robe? Through martyrdom. So all the saints, All Saints Day, receive that robe because they have given their blood in defense of their Lord, and their robe was washed in the blood of the Lamb and made pure. Look at that for a second. You know, it's right in there, but how many of you understand what it's saying? You know, George is right. You know, many times too, we read the Bible, but we do it on autopilot. There is so much stuff in there. I'm going to point at David here for a minute. David and his wife Carolyn read the Bible every day for 40 years. Started their day out together reading the Bible. How many times have you read the Bible, David? You know, it's just ongoing. He still does it. There's one of the best Bible scholars we have in here. Probably better than all of us. Now stop and think about that. He's laity. I'm a pastor. Does that mean that he's not as good as I am? No. As I would describe, a pastor is the CSIC. Chief Sinner in Charge. CSIC. Of course, I said that once in Titusville, Florida, and I lost a call because of that. But part of the thing is, too, we are all people who are struggling to learn the truth. How do you learn the truth? Study the Bible. George said that this morning, and he's right. You know, even it doesn't have to be onerous. Just sit down and do it. But when you do, you're preparing yourself to receive your robe in heaven. Now stop and think about that. Why? Because when you go out there and stand up for your faith, isn't that the same thing? Why is All Saints Day so important that we wear God's color on that day? Remember, white's God's color. Good question, isn't it? We're made pure in the blood. Okay? How come I got a Pentecostal that said that? You with me? Folks, this is not, it's not a secret. Okay? But what we do then is we start looking at this, the purity of this. And you know, anybody can make it to heaven. What do they have to do? And ask for forgiveness. If they ask for forgiveness, is it held back? No, it's freely given. If you have a pure and contrite heart. You know, how many times have we seen that in hymns? How many times have we read it in the Bible? If you have a pure and contrite heart and you ask God for forgiveness, He will freely give it to you. Well, that's too easy of a grace. I've had people tell me that. I said, what do you mean? Well, you have to earn that forgiveness. Apostle Paul says you don't. Okay? It's freely given. And when you look on All Saints Day at the robes that these martyrs were given in heaven, what a blessing that is in service to God, in service of the church, and we wear white to honor them and to honor our Lord today. Now do you see why we do this? You see why I put on the robes today? It's not to put on anything for you. It's to honor the people, we don't know who they are, who have given their lives in service to our God. Amen.